across the city and South Cambridgeshire.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
And I'd like to welcome my guest. I'm going to Sarah Glover from Born to be Beautiful, and Rob as well, who's here, who's just going to be doing some filming. So I don't think we're going to be speaking to him unless he jumps. So good afternoon, Sarah. How are you?
I'm really well. Thank you so much for having us. We're really, really pleased to be here and talking to you about International Women's Day. And thank you for having us.
You're very welcome. So tell me first a little bit about how the charity got started, because I'm not sure everybody knows. Born to be Beautiful is a lovely title, but maybe people won't know what's behind that, really.
Yes, Born to be Beautiful is a charity that I set up in 2011 after seeing... Well, initially hearing some terrible stories coming about human trafficking and little girls in India, and was, as a mother myself, and I think as any woman or any man finds these stories very, very disturbing. I got a chance a couple of years later to go and see the work a charity was doing, and ended up in a safe house meeting some of the girls who'd been trafficked, and one young lady who'd been sold, you know, as a young child, and seeing some horrific things. And at the end of the tour, quote unquote tour, I was standing there, and there was two young women looking at me, and one was 14, one was 15, and they were the same ages as my daughters at home. And I couldn't help but see the dichotomy between those two situations. Mm. Those two little girls, Indian girls, who'd had the most horrific lives. And then my two little precious daughters, who'd had everything I could possibly give them, in living in Cambridge. Mm. And for me, that made me think, you know, what can I do to help? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So did you initially just think, oh, you know, you'll maybe do a bit of fundraising and send some money that way?
Exactly.
And then what happened then? So clearly... You went a little bit step further than most people would do when they see a problem.
Yes, I wasn't planning this in the slightest. But what I thought at the time, because the girls wouldn't look at me, and they were so ashamed of what they had done, but actually they had done nothing. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was me who should be ashamed, that I hadn't been a woman who would step up to the plate and do something so little girls, that doesn't have to happen to them, or little boys. And I remember, I'm a beautician by trade. I trained when I was a young girl at London College of Fashion. And I know that when I could have sat next to one of those girls and I could have done their nails for them. And as anyone who's had their nails done knows, it's quite an intimate thing. You're immediately touching, mm-hmm. you're holding someone's hand. It can be quite comforting. And I thought, when you're doing a manicure on somebody, you look down because you're looking down at their hands, and I thought they could talk to me. They wouldn't have to look me in the eye.
So I don't need to make any eye contact. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah, and also, like you say, when you do nails, it makes you feel really special.
It does.
It does give you something, even though it's a relatively simple thing.
It's a very simple technique, and it has far-reaching effects. And also, so I just thought, you know, I'm a beautician, I'd love to sit next to her and do her nails. And what happens is when you're doing somebody's nails, they open up a bit like the hairdressers.
Yes.
We all know. We tell our beauticians and our hairdressers
absolutely
deepest, darkest secrets, which is
absolutely
fantastic. And I felt that I could be a comfort to them. It went a little bit further, like you said, and I mentioned it to a friend, and she told the charity that we were visiting, and they came to me and said, please come. We've got girls here, teenage girls. We don't know what to do with them. Mm. Can you come and teach? And I said I would think about it. And actually, I took a year to think about it. I didn't want to start something that was going to end up on its head or raise lots of money and then everything fall apart. And I thought about it for a year and realised that if I was going to ask people to support me and to support the girls, I was going to have to be official. So I went on the Charity of Commission website. It took ages to read it.
Yeah, I bet it's on those 100-page...
It's got thousands of pages in there.
So well done for getting through that.
Oh, yeah, I set myself a two-hour-a-day target over the summer holidays. I remember doing it in August, September that year. And I set up a charity. Yeah, I called it Born to be Beautiful because... When I saw those girls, I looked at them and I thought, you were not born for this. Mm. You know, every child is born. They are absolutely beautiful. Just ask them, mum and dad. Mm-hmm. They are absolutely beautiful. And that's really what I felt that we were born for, not for this, you know, filth and just horrific stuff I could see in here.
Mm-hmm. So from there, let's go forward to sort of now, or rather, what happened in between? So, what do you do as a charity, shall we say? So, and where are you based?
We're based here in Cambridge, and we've got a fantastic volunteer team, I have to say, because some of them are here with me today. And we work in Cambridge on a Monday and Friday from my home, and we do all the, you know, admin and the fundraising and things like that from Cambridge. We're a lovely little community there, which you know, people are welcome to join. We would love to have you. And that's what we do in Cambridge. And then normally twice a year I will go out, and we have partner charities who I get invited all the time to go and teach different places. I go and find a partner that we could partner with. Normally they're known to us.
And so, which countries are we talking about?
I've worked in India with a partner charity that have been known to us for about 20 years, and now I'm working in Uganda with another partner charity that we've known for a long time. So they find the girls. Well, they have these teenage girls, and they, you know, the vocational education is really limited, especially from people from those backgrounds. We taught women in Uganda who were HIV positive, and they are fast becoming the sort of, they remind me of the untouchables in India, because right. people don't want to touch them. Mm-hmm. And that was quite remarkable to teach those women.
And do you teach them all different beauty skills, or just, not just, but manicure, but you teach them all
at the
different
moment
things?
We started with manicure, pedicure. The reason I started with that was because I could get 20 manicure and pedicure kits in my suitcase. And so me and the team, we'd put all these things in our suitcase, and hopefully the airline, which they were always awesome, would just let us take way too much baggage with us. And that's really why I started. I wanted something.
Something's very easy and portable, I guess, and not actually a lot of outlay, I'm guessing.
Exactly. Yeah. It was doable. Mm-hmm. You know, I just knew, you give me a nail file, give me a pot of polish, and in skilled hands, that is my dinner. Mm-hmm. You know, and in really skilled hands, that's the children's education.
And that's what it boils down to.
Doctor, yeah.
And as black and white as that, really, isn't it?
Yeah. It's so simple.
So they train with you, and then they can make money doing that for other people then, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We had a lady in India who was crippled, and she said to me, and she just looked at me, and she said, I can't do anything, I'm useless. And I looked at her, and I just let her sit in the class for a couple of days. And then in day 3, day 4, I went over to her, sat down on the floor with her, because that's where she had to sit, because her legs and her hips were all twisted. And I said, could you do me a manicure? And then she just started crying. It was really beautiful. It was just such a special moment, because she realised then she could with her crippledness.
Of course.
She didn't need to go anywhere. She could do it on her doorstep, and she could, start making a difference for herself.
So do you know how many young ladies you've trained now?
Yes, I do. We've actually trained 140 women now. Oh. And what we find is that when you train one woman, she will normally influence 6 people. So we reckon we've helped hopefully influence about 1,000 different lives. So slowly, slowly.
And who goes over there? Just yourself, or do you take people over to help with the training?
Yes, I do. I have people who come to me and say, can I come? Because I want to make a difference.
And so any beauticians out there who are interested and like to come and help you?
I have taken lawyers. Oh. I've taken student doctors. I've taken a ballerina with me. I've taken a businesswoman from Wall Street. So different people come for different reasons, and if you're the right person, we'd love to have you. Yeah.
And how would they get in touch with you if people are interested in becoming involved?
You can email me info@borntobebeautiful.com or you can .org. Thank you, social media team. Or you can go
to that was
the
borntobebeautiful.org.
info@borntobebeautiful.org.
And that's your website, I guess, Born to Be Beautiful.
And then the website is Born to Be Beautiful. But we are local here in Cambridge, and we'd love to meet you.
And I believe you just opened a new actual dedicated salon in Uganda.
We
did. Was that last month?
Yes, we did. We had a donation a while ago of £500, and it was restricted donation that only to go to this beginning of a new salon and school, which is what I wanted to set up. And so we got the offer when we were last there. The people we were working with, next door to them, there's this tiny little lock-up in Uganda, and he said to me, do you want that? And I said, yes. So currently, I spoke to them today. We were given a laptop by Marshalls of Cambridge.
Lovely.
And I took it over to them, and every Monday and every Friday, we speak over Facebook Messenger, and I coach them. We talk about what their needs are. We talk about money. We talk about how they're marketing.
And so that salon will it employ some girls?
We've got six girls employing at the moment as they're building the business. Mm. You know, they're trying their hardest and we're helping them. So we're looking for growth over the years. We're not looking for a big firework display. No. We're looking for something that's sustainable and long term.
So where do you go next then? What's your next adventure or both? What's your next venture and what's your next fundraising event that we can all get involved in perhaps?
Yes, the next...
Because I was saying, I met you first several years ago at, it was an NSPCC event that was part of the Cambridge Style Week, and you had and I had never heard of you before, and I was absolutely drawn in by then, thinking what a great and unique way to help people. Yeah,
thank you.
So, what's your next one?
The next move is to go back to support the girls,
right?
And we get invited everywhere. So we went to Kenya. They are quite keen on us coming there.
So that would be a new country, as well.
And then Kampala in Uganda, which is the capital of Uganda, have asked us to come and work with them, and then Jinja as well, which is on the way to Mbali. So I think we'll stay, you know, in one country for a moment.
To
get some strength there and get some momentum. But we're always looking for other beauty business to come alongside and just to share with us the work. So the next thing I'm going to teach them is going to be facials. They are just beyond excited. Mm. I'm not quite sure how I'm going to manage it sitting up in a chair, but I'm going to work it out and I'm going to write the course and then I'll teach it for them.
Yeah. And so do you do this on 2 days? Do you have a money-making job, as you like, in the other days? So you've got to switch the two.
I juggle it all. Yeah. I just think, you know what, take what is in your hand.
Yes.
You can never have enough money. There's always more, you know, ideas and more dreams than there is money. So I don't wait for it. You can't wait for it. You've just got to go. I just take what is ever in your hand.
And are there any specific fundraising events that we can get involved with in the near future?
Yes, we are having at Cambridge Bumps in July, the City Bumps, we have a little cafe.
Oh.
And we just literally pull all the furniture out from someone's house and we make it up on the side of the river.
Whereabouts? Or
just in Chesterton, where the little parking bay is.
Yes.
If you just stay there on the left, we're just down there, just 50 yards next to the beer tree, if anyone knows about rowing. And we're going to be doing that. That is fun. All my neighbours and all my friends cook for me. We have cakes, have the most amazing brownies, and we tend to get them warm out of the oven. Mm. And everybody is...
You've got me there already.
Yeah.
Warm brownies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have a lot of people help us and people donate wine for us. So we have a lot of fun there.
So just remind everyone, if anyone wants to get involved in any way, you know, for donations or maybe they want to come out and help you or like come alongside you, just remind us of the website again.
It's borntobebeautiful.org and our email is info@borntobebeautiful.org.
That's brilliant.
We would
Thank
love
you.
To hear from
That's
you.
That's brilliant. Thank you ever so much for coming and telling us all about it. It's such an interesting charity. Thank you very much, Sarah.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for having us.